Abdul Katuntu, I hope he's on the way. I had expected him to be here.
Thank you.
To tell us about the NAM preparations.
NAM, of course, sent a message, she's on the way.
She's also sent
but
a message.
Please allow me to also officially on the gang to congratulate my brother, Right Honorable Joel. You see, things come from God. So you are sat next to me, and I'm talking about Nakaloke Center Mosque. I have my bag here. There's a budget of the leader of opposition for donations.
They say Q-A-D.
Is there?
They
say Q-A-D.
So far, he hasn't succumbed to the convoy. I hope he doesn't succumb to the convoy and becomes a real prisoner like those before him. Right. So, Moses, seeing that Abdul is not yet here, what in short, what is the NAM about?
There is one for the speakers. I couldn't talk much about it. Maybe Honorable Semuju. Then there is the other one.
Yeah, let's start with the one that is coming up next week.
I'd rather somebody in parliament talks about it.
Abdu is involved in the meeting of Commonwealth speakers. They'll be coming, I think those meetings.
He's actually the chairperson of the organizing committee.
So that meeting is in Munyonyo.
That's the one beginning next week.
On the 3rd?
On 3rd.
3rd, yeah, 3rd yeah. January.
And I'm told the 40 speakers have confirmed. So that's the meeting that Abdu is involved in. So these meetings, they are regular. So they move from country to country. So it's now our turn to host.
To host speakers. Yeah. And what is the theme? What are they going to be talking about? I know, because I live in the area, I know that they are doing roads, you know, day and night. Yesterday I was at a function at Munyonyo, and they were also doing roads around it, so we had to go around.
That's how we prepare for meetings.
Yeah.
Even the flowers are being planted.
So ready for
that's the Ugandan way. That's the NRM way of doing things. That flowers are going to be planted as the guests are arriving.
Right.
And the roads, as you said, are being done. You see, Kampala was many of the projects they did for Chogam here. We are not completed. The lighting of Kampala started actually after Chogam, but it was meant for Chogam. There is a company in Israel that was given a tender. I don't know whether it was improvement or construction of an airfield in Kasese, because Prince Charles, who is now a king, was supposed to go in Kasese. They wanted him to land in Kasese. So they asked an Israeli company to do the job and said, please, guys, in this month, you can't do this thing. If it had been a Ugandan company, they would take it because you know these fellows. So if they ask you to plant flowers for the guests, don't refuse. You can plant them when the guests have come and gone. So that's what they are doing, the NRM way that you prepare. This hotel near Serena, the one of Karim.
The one in the road.
Yes, was supposed to be for the media. And you know, media people, the first thing was smearing.
The press, the press center.
It kind of did.
Smearing of pain. And said, you guys, you can't bring us in a hotel where you can. I don't know that painting continued even after the meeting. So, yeah, we are ready for the guests. Oscar, you must behave. All of you along the road, welcome the guests. We will continue planting the flowers.
Okay, Honorable Leader of the Opposition, how prepared are we for that first meeting on the 3rd? There are actually two meetings. When does the second meeting start? Is it 7th?
Which meeting?
Not sure.
NAM?
The NAM is after the one of speakers and presiding officers. You see, in the ideal sense, these meetings are good. In many ways, they project us. They give us an opportunity to kwetega. You know kwetega, mwalimu?
Yes.
You know, it's an opportunity to showcase our abilities, our potential, whatever it is. But we many times don't get to focus on that. Even those who are planning, sometimes looks like the thinking is not how do we quite a how do we showcase ourselves, but what can I get out of here, and so on. At least looking at the past experience, was somewhere the other day with Honorable Semju, and I was telling of how when I joined the media in 2006 at UBC, Nakasero, Chogam was the following year. We were thrown out of that place because they needed to put up a Chogam hotel. As that was happening, Shimoni was also evacuated because they had to put up a Chogam hotel. Chogam came and went, and those places since became something else. Flowers were being planted today when the Queen was landing in the evening. So we seem to treat these issues as emergencies, and there's no proper planning even for the real objective. Yeah, that's normally the challenge. I don't know whether, anyway, we are last minute people like to do things last minute. You can do it at your home, but you see, when you're dealing with public funds, it should be different.
Could we have done it earlier?
I think so, because have we just known? But we are waiting to see how these ones do play out, because meetings have been happening, I'm told, and so on. Let's wait and see. Hopefully there's going to be value for money. Hopefully the real objectives will come through. Hopefully money will be properly accounted for, because that's the other issue. Whenever there's these big meetings, after the meeting there happens a huge scandal.
Yeah.
How money was stolen, not accounted for, and as Honorable Semju was telling us elsewhere we were. People like to do these things last minute, because there all the rules are thrown out the window. You say, look, this is an emergency. Avail the money quickly, you know, and we shall sort ourselves. So I hope that's not what will happen after these meetings. But let's wait and see.
Yes. Lydia? What should we look forward to?
We look forward to starting the year in a very high gear, because the meeting for the speakers and the presiding officers of parliament is third, day after
next week.
So you can imagine starting a year
Wednesday
with the conference tourism, if I may call it. So I really want us to thank God for this, but also continue in the same spirit. The more meetings we get to our country, the more promotion in terms of stability and in terms of destinations, whether it is tourism or conference tourism, as we call it. So then thereafter there is NAM, then there's the G77. These are details that my brother Moses can talk more about to inform our public. And we would want to see the spaces for the Ugandans showcasing what they can sell, what they can promote, whether they have hotels where people can visit, whether they have food, transport industry chains. What are they exporting? We've been seeing the whole of last year many efforts to export Ugandan products. Let's have side events. Let's have side events for these conferences to showcase which Uganda company is selling what or is exporting what, or which destinations can our products and our goods which we are producing go to. We want to do business. We want to do production. Let it be our resolutions for next year as we enter January of 2024 on Monday. Now that we even have our new brand here, this should be his first campaign. Let's let Ugandans earn some support, earn some money. Because even if you people are in politics, in parliament, you also need money. It's very difficult to lead people who are hungry, people who are hustling. So let's all focus on business and some level of income to our people. Then we'll be able to say we are leading Ugandans, but Ugandans with some level of welfare, with some level of income. And one of the best, because we are land connected, one of our best ways to showcase ourselves are to do this conference tourism. So personally for me, Oscar, I'm happy, but I would like to see the organizers expressing every effort to ensure that Ugandans can showcase. Nancy here has a business firm. She has a client. They can have a stall somewhere on a side event to show what they can sell, what they can market internationally, or even back home here. So whatever you are organizing, I've seen people going to Munyonyo, looking at Munyonyo, but even on the walkways, allow Ugandans to showcase those who have crafts, those who have business farms where they can give their cards, those who can have video clips where they can play to show out what they are doing. I think that's Moses here has a farm. Can Moses have a 1 second clip to
show about the
farm?
Tear gas arrest.
Which one? Moses has cows, he has milk, he has yogurt. Moses, I've not seen yogurt today. Where is our new yogurt? So what? What?
So thank you, Lydia. I don't know how people can do those things because they are locked out. You're most welcome to Gang.
Moses comes here without yogurt.
Namfi, most welcome to Gang.
Thank you, Oscar. Good morning to our listeners. I hope you're all enjoying the holiday season.
Yeah. So let's begin before we review the year. I have and Namfi is sitting next to the leader of opposition.
And the leader of opposition. You did know that he got a baby boy.
He got many things. He got a baby.
He
got
a
wife.
Don't know what he's going to say during the segment.
He got a leader of opposition.
For someone in opposition, the year went too well.
So, just before we start, Honorable Joe Senyonyi, right, Honorable Joe Senyonyi.
The next you get designate
what happens when you are leader of opposition? Do you have a template? Do you have a work plan?
Are you asking Joel who has not looking into
Joel,
the office?
He's going into.
He has read the rules and the constitution here.
Are you prepared to work with the speaker? You have not been on good terms with the speaker. At some point, she called you lazy. Your report is the report. Uganda Airlines report never came out. So it did come out eventually.
Yeah, just was
not the leaked copy. It did come out officially.
Fired?
So what plans have you got for this office?
Maybe let me start from that very point because people have been asking me folks in the media.
I beg your pardon?
Moses,
you opt out of NAM.
Didn't talk to us about NAM.
No, he said let the members of parliament.
About parliament.
There's
a bigger NAM.
You're late, NAM.
There's a bigger NAM.
Yes.
Mwalimu is tough.
You'll include your comments as we go.
In the lead of opposition.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, you see, Oscar, to do work, if people are serious about doing work, relations are not very important. You do this show here. I don't know if the producer is your friend. Maybe she is, but she does not have to be. She just has to do her job.
To deliver a good job, yes.
So those who have been asking me, but you and the speaker don't seem to be friends. How are you going to operate together? We don't have to be friends. I've said and I'll repeat, we just have to respect each other and for everybody to do their job. Recently, we're having a challenge where we over the missing persons, and that debate has not gone away. And we appealed to the speaker and said, please don't carry these people's problem. Let them carry their problem. So don't get annoyed with us, because the problem is the other side. Parliament passed a resolution that they should bring a response in 30 days. The 30 days have elapsed. Please ask them to bring the statement, as opposed to being annoyed with us. We are not the problem. And we also reminded her that these people who are annoying us now, even you, they have annoyed you before, and we supported. There's a time twice, where she adjourned parliament because the front bench was empty. And we said that was the right thing to do because these guys need to take parliament serious. But anyhow, these are conversations that will continue. But ultimately, as long as there is respect for one another and so on, work should be able to move, and that we focus. We major on majors and minor on minors. I think that's the most important thing. The office, the work is clearly spelled out in the law. When you read the Administration of Parliament Act, the rules of procedure with specificity, Rule 14, provides for the roles of the leader of the opposition. And sub-rule 1 says the cardinal role of the leader of the opposition is to keep the government in check. That can mean many different things because government, which has the mantle, has got certain deliverables. It's our duty to ensure that we hold them accountable on those, whether it be service delivery, whether it be accounting for taxpayer money, whether it be giving accountability on issues like human rights, because it's important. You wield the machinery, state machinery, and so on. How are you using all of that? People have been killed, others have been disappeared, and so on and so forth. These are issues that we hope to bring to the fore. I'm glad that in my mind, I've already made up my mind that this shall not be a one-man show. There's a very able team that I'll be working with, the shadow cabinet, committee chairpersons, but even the bigger bulk of the opposition. I intend to rely on them a great deal. A number of these people have been in parliament much, much longer than myself, the Semujus and others. I intend to rely on them a great deal. So I believe work will be a lot easier for me, because when you're surrounded by all these people who have experience, who know what ought to be done, it eases things, doesn't it? Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. We wish you all the best, you know, thank as you. Our gang member, that's how it is. Going forward for the next 2.5 years, we shall always have you in the hot seat. Yes. So, Moses, I had a response. I sent out a tweet and saying the good, the bad, and the ugly of 2024. Choose what you'd like to speak about. There's one response I got. I said the year climaxed with retired speakers, cars, 3.5 trillion supplementary budget, a coup attempt that got 30 plus court martialed, USA unending sanctions against Uganda, are the Mabati buried? What about Muslim properties attempted sale? What does blessing gays but not their unions by the Catholic priests mean? 600 delegates to Dubai COP. And so on, a long, long list of this is another one. So I don't know, Moses, you could pick on which one you'd like to begin with, or Honorable, yes. I know that you, from your article this week, you have presented Uganda as one of the best countries in East Africa. We are doing very well. You know
best
the way.
Best in what?
In economy, in shilling. You know Moses and how he paints out. I read his article word for word. And for him, he'd put out Uganda, we are in a very good place.
Well, first of all, I wanted to let me comment on about the NAM conference. This is going to be the 19th summit. From 15th to 20th of January, it will be in Kampala, Munyonyo. From 21st to 23rd, it will be followed by the G77 plus China. When Uganda takes over the chairmanship of NAM, it will take 3 years, so until 2027. So Uganda will be chairing. For the G77, it's 1 year chairmanship. It's called G77 plus China. Lydia here was talking about what Uganda offers. Yes, there will be a business forum where businesses can interact, visit, showcase, and interact. These two or three, if you start with the speakers conference next week, are good for the country, are good for the economy. One on tourism, they are good for tourism. Two, they are good to bring in foreign currency. You see, in one of the challenges now in many African countries is the shortage of foreign currency as a result of having spending so much money on imports. So many of them don't have foreign currency. I remember sometime around February, March, I talked to some tool manufacturers in Uganda, and they were saying they were finding a difficulty in exporting to two of East African countries because getting dollars out of those countries was a problem. And they didn't have, and many other African countries, including some of our neighbors, have been rationing out, giving out dollars. If you want, In fact, there's a country which has in the neighborhood which we couldn't withdraw more than $10,000 at a go, even though.
Thank you, Moses.
He lives in an alternate universe, but I don't blame him. You see, who was it? Betty Kamia told us that they in their V8s they don't fill the potholes.
Yeah, she said you need to fight hard for yourself.
For yourself,
because
for them,
and fight
they have
the
their
corrupt
alternate
people.
Life, and they their analysis, and they judge the economy and the status quo from high up there in their universe. So when you hear him say things like the economy is not doing so badly, let's try to understand where he's coming from. So Oscar, what's your question today?
What's your highlight for 2023?
Oscar, let me first talk about NAM. You didn't give me a chance because you claimed I was late, which is not true.
It was gone.
I think number one, we need to advertise more this conference, because many people could benefit from it and not there, and are not aware. You find people who, you know, lawyers, engineers, and people who should know about this conference, and they don't. And the only way people found out about this is when they started covering the potholes and doing last minute repairs of the roads, and people were wondering what is happening. And then they taught us NAM Summit, and no one taught us NAM in school. So many people are wondering, what is NAM? How do we benefit from it? And for many years, there have been NAM summits, and Uganda is taking over the NAM leadership. And the theme is deepening cooperation of shared global affluence. I think Moses came up with that. I don't know what it means, and I'm sure many of the delegates from the 120 countries don't know what it means either. But it is a unique opportunity, like any other opportunity. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're presented with an opportunity, you should take it. I think hotels will benefit a lot from it, but government needs to push the NAM narrative more so that the country and the citizenry understand what they can gain from this and how they can utilize this opportunity. And just reaching out to government organization bodies, which shame us all the time. When you have visitors, at least where I grew up, you do your best, Moses. So I hope Uganda Airlines is picking people on time from where they are and is not telling them that the plane didn't turn up today. I hope the roadworks are finished on time and we don't cover the poor delegates with dust. I hope the conference center itself is finished on time, because we saw pictures and images this week. Looks good, but looks way... It looks quite incomplete.
I was there yesterday. They're also tarmacking.
They're also what?
Tarmacking roads.
They're also just tarmacking
the resort.
Place. And you wonder, we are a country.
Holes are okay.
The holes are okay?
Yes.
They've been finished now?
They were finished, I think, a while ago.
Coming out look like we're still...
Where they are getting part
but
of the money.
You see, when you have a conference,
the supplementary
you don't
budget.
Finish on the 29th, when the conference is in the first week of January.
They might finish on first.
Might. So Moses, try and get organizations not to shame us. So now I'll come to our question, because it's costing us $53 billion. So we have to get value for money. Otherwise, as usual, we'll be the country that never capitalizes on these opportunities. Now, the good of the country and the bad. Let's start with the bad. The good, we are still alive.
Is that the standard?
That is the standard. Bare minimum, we're still breathing. Because this Moses government can kill you anytime. So if you're alive, or you can disappear, like Joel's colleagues. So if you're alive, we have to applaud that. Now the bad. The bad, Oscar, is Uganda is like an aging dictator, deteriorating every day in general. And I think the biggest sign is the roads. Even Kololo, which used to be a posh suburb. I remember there's someone who, a foreigner, who I was trying to explain to that Kololo is supposed to be our poshest, most affluent suburb. And they're like, you're kidding. You don't have a place like the Hamptons. Like, this is the Hamptons. And properties in Kololo cost more than some properties in the Hamptons. But when you look at the roads, the infrastructure,
go on.
The Hamptons is in the US. It's a posh place.
It's Kololo there.
It's there, Kololo there. But our Kololo looks like Bukoman Simbi or Nansana these days.
Nansana is better.
Nansana is better than Kololo. Yeah, because Nansana did not come with any expectation. Even Kira. Because when you look at Uganda at the beginning of the year and Uganda where we are, it's like we are regressing as a country as opposed to progressing. But I think that comes all the way from the leadership. Imagine we have leaders who stole goats and iron sheets, and today they're still in power. They're still giving orders. I look at the speaker talking sometimes and I think, you're a goat, you're a Mabati thief. You don't, like they say, Tony Nacho to Gamba.
She returned them.
Our children watching as nothing happens to the people doing these things. How are they supposed to develop a moral compass when people get away with murder in this country? They should have resigned themselves. We have indicted ministers who have to report to court for stealing, and yet they're still holding their positions. They're still attending cabinet meetings. So for me, that general regression of the country, when Moses glosses over the economy saying it's good but it can do better, honestly, he lives in an alternate universe. I don't know what Trump calls it. The falsehoods by the newspapers, there's a name he gives it, where they just have their own truth, which they propagate, hoping that the public then catches onto it.
See the studio. Be careful.
Fake news, yes.
Okay. Moses
and
his Thank
fake
you.
News of the economy doing better.
Thank you.
And then he backs it up with statistics and lower, you know, inflation. So, Oscar, for me, it is the general decline of the country from the economy to the roads to the ministries to the leadership.
Yes.
And everything in between.
The soon to be Right Honorable
Joel
Senyonyi. This week, I went and picked up my driving license renewal. I was very impressed by the speedy happenings. And I wondered if we could have organizations like that, because you walk in, show your receipt, you pay online, they guide you to the first window, stamped, next window, and I was out of there in about 25 minutes. So is this an isolated case? Will you highlight those good things? And then there's the other case of Mabati, as Nafka here points out.
National IDs and Uganda Airlines.
Yes. Should we forget about all these troubles?
Somebody will ask you, if you remember them, then what will you do? you know, it's sad we have gotten to that place that the folks who should be fixing things, you know, will at times look you in the face and say, Toinacho Tugamba. What will you do about this? This year has been one of those, a mixed bag. Sometimes we seem to take two steps forward and then we take three steps backwards, which is problematic. So you keep in a vicious cycle of sorts. Moses says that our economy has grown. Sometimes it's good to establish what is causing figures to go up a little bit. And again, those figures, we need to be careful with them. GDP per capita, and so on. So we are seven people in this room currently. Yeah. Mwalimu might be having 5 million in his pocket. Patricia has 10. Moses has 20. Semuju has 100K. Senyonyi has 50K. Nafi has 10. But you see,
I'm the one with 100K. I'm the teacher here. Give good examples.
You know, they'll tell us GDP per capita. You know, you get the total divided by the number of us here, and then they'll say that each of us has 1 million shillings. Yeah. But Semju is saying, wait, I have 100K. What do you mean I have 1 million shillings?
You know, Joe, sorry for the interruption. When Moses writes these things, I'm prepping myself in week 2 of January to start challenging him. I might even start go back to writing articles. Because I'd like him to walk with me in Chigo and point out to those people that you are doing very well. Exports have gone up.
Yeah.
You know? to tell them.
You see, because it's shameless. Shameless people are like that. They'll look you in the face and say, aren't you happy?
You are okay.
They slap you and then tell you, aren't you happy?
Say yes.
Say yes.
So, there are things that have brought a bit of money into our jurisdiction. Foreign direct investments with the oil and so on. Some have said it's mostly because of speculation or whatever the case might be. But yeah, there are some guys that have brought money. It has yet to spread to many folks out there. But the fact that some of that came in, Moses will tell you, but there's more money in the economy. People are generally a lot better. But there are indicators that should worry us in as far as the economy is concerned. Whether you look at the macro level or the micro level, problematic things. The other day, Sam, we were talking about our fiscal debt, which is growing by the day. Currently, we owe 97 trillion shillings. Can you imagine that? 97. And you see, it keeps growing. I think when we go back to Parliament in the first week, there might be some other loans approved very quickly.
And because you should see what we are using the money for.
That's the other thing I was going to talk about. So, number one, the debt keeps growing. The safe space to be in is when the debt to GDP ratio is below 50%. Now we are outdoing, we are above the pass mark, as it were. We are outdoing ourselves. It is, Moses.
And buying V8 cars for former speakers, spending money for goat herding, spending 13 billion on musicians, classified budget for State House 285 billion, unquestioned.
Nafi, the leader of opposition will not be interrupted.
He will.
Thank you.
I'm supporting him and his case. He's making a very, very valid point.
Before we went into recess, Bank of Uganda told us we were at about 52%, that debt to GDP ratio. But we keep borrowing. So it keeps going higher and higher and higher. And the challenge is, you're borrowing this money, what usage are you putting it to? It's possible, even as an individual, to borrow money and then you inject it into something progressive. But even as an individual, you're borrowing money to marry a wife, to, I don't know, buy a bigger car and so on. You find that our priorities are the wrong side up.
Yes.
Government is doing a lot more borrowing locally. Now, that affects the teacher who is going to the same banks to borrow some money to put up a kiosk, a side business, or even other business people at whichever level. When you're competing with government locally for that money, the interest rates are going to be through the roof. So we are in many ways disempowering the local business folks who should be producing and exporting. Moses is telling us about exports. All these are issues that I think are going to worsen because we don't seem to... I don't know why our attention is not so much even on the local business person. We give red carpets to these foreign investors, as we call them. They come, we give them land, we, you know, give them tax holidays for years. We even guarantee them money, and they turn out to be the chupuli guys. But our local folks whom we should be empowering, some of the economies we keep talking about, China and so on, they decided to empower their local business folks. And that's why every country you go to, you find a Chinese product. Because government there is serious about, let's empower these fellows who shall be able to export a lot more. I don't see us doing that. And yet it should be common sense. But there are other issues that we have struggled with that might spill over into 2024. Service delivery has been a huge, huge problem. We're talking about the roads in Kampala. Kampala contributes about 60% to the national pass. But you look at Kampala. There's no road that you can start and end in Kampala that is smooth. There's none that I see.
Somebody was telling you it is your face, then you're
busy doing cleaning the buttocks. And that's did Haji actually say that?
He's, I'm sure Nafi, I can. But Nafi is off air. Nafi is off air.
Yeah, but that's you what see? I said.
I didn't hear it.
No, you hear it.
And it's a reality in many respects. Because you see, aside from this being your face, it is what produces for you most money, 60%. That means if you inject therein, you have capacity to get a lot more. But we are not doing that. You look at our city and everything is in a mess. There's a particular road, there are several roads anyway. you see business persons telling you because of the mess and the dust and so on, even customers are not coming to buy our small little food. Now that woman will come and cook food, and by the end of the day she's gotten about two or so customers. It gets to that small scale. We don't like to think of these things, but somehow you are pumping more money into State House. Some of you the other day told us State House spends about 1.8 billion shillings per day. By the end of the year, it turns out he needs to revise that figure.
Yeah.
It is a different story altogether. You see how much money we are pumping into, I don't know, behavioral change. What on earth is that exactly? These are avenues where money is pumped therein to be stolen. But there's critical things that we can spend money on. Of course, and several other issues. The Balalo question, it hit the charts. It has yet to go away. Because the folks there are saying, look, you cannot just come and you want to roughshod over us. I wait to see what happens next year. Because Psalm 7, he said, okay, whoever has not fenced off their cows, we are going to confiscate them. And some are rushing to fence off even that land which is not theirs. I don't think that was a remedy. If we don't address it properly, there might be a challenge. And several other issues.
We human rights violations. Discussion it, yes.
We have been engulfed in that. It is not about to go away. We are insisting missing persons must be produced. If you think they have committed an offense, produce them in court so that, you know, they battle with that issue. But even those that have been in jail 3-4 years, their cases are not kicking off. Why? The state is still looking for evidence. Release the person on bail as you go and concoct your evidence from wherever.
Moses, thank you. My person was okay.
Honorable Semuju, Nwawine Jose says, Oscar, my major 2023 highlight was Mabati saga. The Mabati spoke a lot. If there's any item that can make noise while being stolen, it's really the iron sheets. And they really made noise for themselves against the thieves and for quite a long period in 2023. What stands out for you, 2023? There's also the issue of a mosque and the president's letter.
This year, officially, President Museveni became 79.
So he's 80 next year.
He will be 80.
He has underlined the word officially.
Yeah, because he said he doesn't know when he was born.
Yes, he said he doesn't know. That's true.
And we don't have a scientific method to determine. And at 79, he developed appetite for parties. Parties he didn't do when he still had a lot of energy. You saw almost his family.
Parties for pleasure.
Yeah,
mm.
You saw him even throwing a wedding, that he was unable to have a wedding when he was, at the time he got married. So at 79, there was a very big wedding. His son was also throwing parties one after another, that he had become, I don't know, 40 something. And then one of the girls also did. So one of the highlights of the year is the appetite by our leaders for luxury. And it can best be demonstrated by those sort of events.
For us, we were thinking of Mabati. Kidney transplant is good. For you, I think about Museveni's age and the parties he's having.
Because Museveni runs the country, he's the CEO.
Mm.
So there is no way you're going to speak about a company and you don't speak about the CEO, Oscar. So you can speak about a cooks and sweepers. Me, I want to focus on the CEO. So the CEO is throwing parties for a company that is doing bad. That's a point.
Cars.
And giving away cars. So that Oscar concerns me more than the sweepers and cleaners. And that explains many things, Oscar. Let me begin with one before I deal with the question you've asked. In Africa, the longest serving president as of today is of Equatorial Guinea, Obiang Nguema. 43 years in power, he's 8 years old. Followed by Biya, 40 years in power of Cameroon, who is 89. By Nguesso of Congo, 78 years old, in power 38. Museveni is at 37. He's number 4 in Africa. These sort of leaders are always internationally profiled as a problem. any meeting like NAM, they will get all the drums in the country, go to junctions and beat them, that we are such a good country, leaders are coming here. The reason they don't care about the potholes in Kampala, because Mr. Museveni's interest in these sort of meetings is a photograph that the world has accepted me. You have seen they were here, so don't continue making noise. The world is okay with me. So that's going to be the biggest achievement of this meeting, not the inflow as Moses Byaruhanga is presenting. If you read Bank of Uganda reports, and I want to encourage everybody to keep reading those reports, they are quarterly reports. We are a country that is in trouble. Bank of Uganda says this year our foreign reserves were encroached on because we are unable to service our foreign debt. That's official by Bank of Uganda. Our foreign reserves were encroached on because we are unable to service the foreign debt. But also, for the first time in many years, we are unable to service our domestic debt. And that's why in the budget, Uganda's budget, the item for servicing loans, managing loans, has now grown to 20 trillion. Because for the domestic debt, every year, we are now required to pay 7 trillion. Even the money that they have just shared, this one of supplementary.
3 trillion.
They are going to go back to the same banks to borrow. So we are a country that can't service its domestic debt, its foreign debt, and the presidential advisor says, please get the drums, go to the junctions and begin beating. We are okay. We are doing better than all our neighbors. I represent Chira. This is where trucks going to the border and returning pass. Oscar, you don't have to be an economist. And you don't need any economist to mislead you. Just go to Jinja Road and then see which trucks are loaded. Are they the trucks coming in or the trucks going away? Most of the trucks going to the border are actually empty. They go to Mombasa and elsewhere to pick stuff. So which sort of country that has beaten all the neighbors in export when the trucks go empty and return loaded? For me, I don't need any economist. I just go to where you get it. Either way, you get it or Chireka, and then see the trucks coming in, and I count, and I see. And then that's where I get my figures from. I don't need to get them from Byaruhanga, whose job now, I think, mainly in the State House, is to cook figures, and then to present them as if they are real. So the economy is not doing well, Oscar. I told people for the first time, I have been in Parliament 13 years, we are being paid in bits, MPs. This has never happened for the last 13 years I've been in Parliament.
Just reduce your salaries and you won't be paid in
fees. Even if they are reduced, if you don't have money. Then we started asking ourselves, are they following alphabet code? I mean, they haven't paid me. No, they have paid some people. So this has happened this year that we are ending for the economy being presented by Moses Byaruhanga as an economy doing well. We are not doing well. And then you had problems of the World Bank because of the anti-homosexual
bill.
Yes, which I supported and I still support. That, but I think there are other issues over the fourth longest serving, because the whites can find something, but I don't think entirely these sanctions and the refusal to give us money was just because of this bill, this act. It is also because of many other things, including violation of human rights. I am happy there are sanctions against individuals. I don't know. I need to understand why the commissioner of prison was one of those targeted. Because prison tends to be very professional, those of us who have been there. They should be sanctioning Museveni and his son and the military people. So I someone will need to convince me why it is the commissioner of prison who is at the end. Actually, him is just a storekeeper. These Moses are the ones who will abduct you and then take you to him. So the human rights and Uganda, we continue making international headlines because of human rights. And that's why these sanctions came. I am not one of those who thought that this cabinet was capable of doing anything. Because first of all,
let's pause there. We go for a short break and you'll start with that very one cabinet. And thereafter, we'll go to Lydia. We'll come back from the break. Honorable Semuju, you were concluding.
Yes, I said the Mabati is just an illustration of two things, Oscar. The psyche of people who are being appointed in Uganda. And this has been ongoing. So when you are given an assignment in the cabinet, it is a platform for you now to look for privileges. You remember Kabakumba, I think, was the worst story. The one who went with the... because I think there was nothing to take, so she went with the UBC must. So that's the psyche of many people appointed by M7. I have given you something, please, now you can serve yourself. So that's why the supervisor of cabinet, together with her subordinate, sat down and shared the Mabat for Karamoja and the money for goats, and M7 did not take action. So that represents the psyche, and that's why I don't think M7 cares when he's appointing people. But and then the second thing is the level of competence. I have just said here, I think some of the people M7 appointed them for entertainment. I think he keeps laughing when he's talking about Nabanj. Even in the cabinet, you ask people who see, they say, for me, I like Nabanj, and then he laughs. So I think Nabanj and the group were appointed for M7's entertainment, that he has a cabinet that he keeps laughing at himself as a president of a country. Because... I mean, which sort of country? I have said this many times and I want to repeat. We are in Rwanda with the MPs, including NRM MPs. They are all happy with what is happening in Rwanda. Rwanda is authoritarian. But they have a target that must be delivered every year. That's why they look the way they do. In Uganda, no target. Because if you have a target, Oscar, imagine you are a principal of Taiba and you have a target of good performance. Do you go and pick the lowest in the market? That's what M7 does, because he has no target to deliver. Anyone can become anything. And that's why he assembles a team and roughs at it. So the Mabati and all the other failures, money for cooperatives, ETC, those things cannot stop.
The gift BMK has already told Nancy, leave Nansen alone. But now says, my take for the 2023 is the censure of Honorable Persis Namuganza by the 11th Parliament, and so on. Mm. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because there are no standards. There are no targets, there are no standards. Anyone can fit in, anyone can walk in. And until, because just compare the cabinets that M7 has had over time, the people who were there and the cabinet he has today. That cabinet, I don't think, can deliver anything. I don't want to use the words I've used before and people are angry with me.
But so with Minister Persis Namuganza, you just sit with her and that's it. You censured her and nothing happened.
Yeah, because first of all, Parliament has been overrun. It's not the same Parliament as it used to be. The cabinet is now, I've said, it's just for entertainment. So really, that's where we are as a country. In fact, I am shocked if there is anyone celebrating that we are progressing as a country. It is going to take us many, many years to recover. Rwanda, I compared Nambole, we have spent 100 billion shilling repairing. If you look at the basketball arena Rwanda is constructing, because I was told when we were there that they now want to become the sports hub in Africa, or at least in part of Africa, that if you are looking for facilities to host sports events, you will be looking at Rwanda. And you can see construction that is deliberate, that is purposeful, and intentional. That's what you want to be now in the next 10 years. Every facility you look at that, you look at in Rwanda, the roads. And I saw the president laughing about roads in Kampala. He said, no, these potholes, the other day my daughter took me there. Can you imagine that he's being taken by a daughter? Someone who was a minister for works. So really, M7 holds everybody in contempt. It is his family. When it is Ame, it is Muhoz who has told
him. And before you leave microphone, the last two items from you, the mosque and President M7 intervening and the FDC.
We all suffer the same problem, M7ism. That Mubaje should never have been at Old Kampala if it was not M7.
Yep.
We had nearly finished him. But M7 deployed. He actually, even now he has deployed.
You are nearly finished him.
Yes.
You and who?
Us, the Muslims.
The
yeah. Because he has become an embarrassment. You see, in this case of Zimbabwe, the land he sold. First, he leased it. After leasing, he realized that there is money to make. Then he went to sell it to another person. The one of the lease is complaining, the one he has sold to can't get it. And Museveni said, no. You are the problem. Because this is a national mosque. But the national mosque is being sold by a national leader, the Mufti. It's not being sold by ordinary. Yes. So why don't you deal with the problem before you blame the court? because Mubaje is a Museveni's person, the other day he sold a mosque on William Street at 1.5 billion. And we had to spend 24 billion shilling. Because as Muslims, we say, no, the one who bought it will not take it off. And Museveni, because he wanted to rescue Mubaje, he paid taxpayers' money, 24 billion, for a property that Mubaje had sold at 1.5 billion. And I know even old Kampala Museveni is trying to do the same thing. So really, it's a reflection. One time, the Honorable Amanya Mshega told me, if you're a man who is beating your wife, you want every man in the village to do the same, so nobody can blame you. So Museveni would want the same people to be the religious leaders, to be the in charge of parties. You're asking me about FDC. The standard must be Museveni's standard. If you want to be a religious leader, you must be like Museveni. Who is messing up Uganda, you also mess up the Muslim. You must be like Yamri at Anandara, you mess up FDC as I mess up Uganda. So yeah, that's the standard. And he will make sure that every single institution has the same standard. So until Mr. Museveni has gone, and then we deal with the standards and personnel, these problems are still with us, even in 2024.
Okay, let's go to Lydia. In 2024, I'll ask you whether you are still FDC or what you are.
You can even ask now.
What are you?
I am not sure.
Your answer was ready.
Yes.
So, Lydia, highlights of 2023, as Semenjo has pointed out, a list of things other people on the table did. Moses is the positive one. But remember, Honorable Zaki has also been given a high post, just as he's being, sued in the disciplinary committee. Is that the correct way to put it, Honorable Semenjo? Honorable Zaki. He's sued in the disciplinary committee. What do you call it?
No.
Brought before.
He was referred to the committee.
He was referred to the committee.
I 2023 has ended with many Ugandans trying to recover from COVID, because you remember, Oscar, our 2022-21 was so terrible.
Mm.
We got out of the general elections completely down, without any money to talk about or survival. So I've been seeing so many people trying to dust off that history of COVID and start their small businesses and survive. So we hope that 2024, which is just around the corner on Monday, we should be able to survive. Uganda is a country of people that hustle and survive. If nothing works for you, at least weather will work for you. We hope that we can keep the climate change and not deforest our country, so that as day follows the night, you can have your crops in your backyard, you can have something to sell. But also the parish model, the commitment is there. I hope, and I really request people that are part of the 39% of our country, because when many people speak and, you know, throughout all sorts of citizenism, there's something in their pocket. So that 1 million shillings that you are getting, that you are getting at the back, even by the Oscar, the Christmas week, this Christmas week and this one going in the new year, people are receiving money. There was money for this quarter for the parish. So the leader of opposition here, and Honorable Semuju, your neighbors, one in Nakawa, the other in Nichira, if you check on your people, many of them will tell you there's that money on their phone. They can search a kiosk. They can do something out of that 1 million, because very few politicians can give an individual a million shillings. You normally give 50,000, 100,000. So let's have that 1 million, and somebody begins off with their some kiosk or something, those that really need it. So for me, I hope that we can roll this money even next year, Oscar, so that it works for people. And that should be able to help them have informed choices, even for their leaders, so that 1,000 or 10,000 cannot make you choose a leader, because you have your 1 million that has kept you going, and you're not really starving, or that you are trying to survive by putting up something you can sell or you can multiply. Really, that is it, Oscar. The year was tough. We many of us have been hustling and struggling to make ends meet. When you look at the bigger picture of what Moses has said, there is a good picture for the stabilization of the dollar and the economy trying to start off. But that is for the big picture. But me, I want to talk about the Mwana 1C, this lady where I buy my food or vegetables in Nakawa Market.
The one in Nakaloke.
The one in Nakaloke, at the Nakaloke Center Mosque. So how are they managing, really? The one on Kumi Road, that one who is vending bananas in the basket. Those are the people that I'm talking about. So if we can support them and make sure that they don't have to buy water, there is water. When they go to the hospital, the services are there, they get their medication. And then when they go to the market, they're able to sell and go back home with something they cannot get easily from their courtyard. They are the people I'm talking about. And I hope that this campaign can go on and we make sure that the parish model works for people. And like Moses has reminded me, especially those people at Nakaloke Center Mosque, because that area by there has a lot of people selling bananas, bogoya, on the highway to Teso. So those people on the roadside selling bogoya, selling cabbage, selling carrots, we hope that may 2024 work for them, because 2023 has been hard. So that's when we are really fixing the regulations and policies for the parish model, and many of them did not get money. But this is the time for them to get onto the grid and get moving. On the big picture, I saw a lot of progress in the oil sector in terms of our oil. Maybe Moses can speak more to this. We made progress. I could see launching of some wells. The pipeline is moving. But those are the bigger things. Mine, really, although I'm a policy level, I have a lot of interest in what's happening on this lady. Like I've described, the one selling bananas on the street to Teso, the one in Nakaloke, the one on Kumi Road in my home area in Imbale City. Yeah. I want to see that life changing, and that's when we can be talking about how we are moving from 2023 to 2024.
Dr. Mara,
just to recognize this, I don't have the figures. You say that Moses is good at figures, he can help me. But electricity has reached Imbale, and there is connectivity up to the villages. We may not have covered all areas, but it's visible now that many areas of the country, seeing from where I come from, there has been more coverage of electricity than we had before 2023. So as we enter 2023, there are more homes lit. There are more trading centers which have been lit, which is also good for the country, because the night industry is going to also progress. Yes.
Lydia, Dr. Namara tells you, please recognize the success of Mulago kidney transplant. Professor Frank Asimwe and the big team, congrats to them. Had you heard about that?
Yes, I had. I would like to congratulate our scientists and professionals, but also the Mulago team. Like the old, most of this an outcome of research, because we have a lot of professionals, but most important, they need enablers and multipliers, which is equipment. The moment we have equipment in Uganda or in Mulago, you'll see a lot of Ugandans coming back to work home. There are many medical and professional workers in Kenya and elsewhere. I'm not saying that you don't work in East Africa or elsewhere, but the moment we re-equip and reboot our health facilities, they would love to come and serve at home, so that medical tourism now works in Uganda and people come to Uganda to get treatment, not only to come for the speakers conference, to come for NAMUGIS, they will also come for specialized treatment. And in many of our medical infrastructure, what we are lacking are those high-tech technology, but the professionals we have trained, and the training takes time. So we should be proud of our medical professionals and keep them to serve back at home and let the medical tourism come to Uganda.
I've worked with the Uganda Heart Institute before through Rotary, and that medical tourism happens with the Uganda Heart Institute. They're doing very well.
We also have medical tourism in Imbale City. There is that facility called the Cure Hospital, that handles children who have challenges with nervous system. So that Cure is also, we have a lot of people coming from outside Uganda, especially for children. So Cure Hospital is up there, and we hope that we can build onto it so that we build that health facility to serve humanity.
Yes. Gerald says Semuju is the winner. He assessed the balance of trade by counting sealed trucks at Boyo Gedede.
You could tell they were empty.
It's
very natural to Gamba. You can see.
So
there's actually another easy way to establish our balance of trade. Yeah. You see that road that goes all the way to the border, Jinja Road and so on. When you look at both sides of the road, this one that is exiting, you know, still in fair shape, the one coming in sunk in. Because trucks come when they are heavy laden with stuff. So the road has literally sunk in when you look at that road. So the other side of the trucks moving out, there's not much, so it is still in fair shape.
You see,
that's
the Mutua 1C interpretation.
Leader of opposition, you can no longer interpret as a Mutu. Hold on, Moses. Leader of opposition, you can no longer interpret as Mutua 1C.
No, we have to
because you are no longer Mutua 1C.
Actually, that's not a Mutua 1C.
So we are going to have to get you some aids. It's very serious. To give you up-to-date information.
You see, Oscar, it's a bit unfortunate that our members of parliament are looking at some of the things this way, where we have hopes in them, irrespective of the political opinions they hold. Because at the end of the day, they are MPs for Uganda. Yes, I heard some of you say that the trucks passing through Kira go empty, many of them. That could be a fact. I think it's a fact. But he's forgetting that when I was making my presentation, and in my article I wrote, it came out yesterday, is that most of our exports in the region are going to DRC, Congo, are going to South Sudan, and definitely these don't pass through Kira, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, we had a trade deficit with Kenya as individual country level of about $227 million. We had a trade deficit with Tanzania of about $700 million. But in the whole, when you look at East Africa, we had a trade surplus of $700 and something million because we are selling more to the other East African countries than these others. That's one. Two, because Uganda is landlocked, Uganda is not only the only landlocked country in Africa. Most of the trucks coming from Mombasa, some just come destined for Uganda. Some are destined for Congo. Some are destined for Rwanda. Some are destined for Burundi. Some are destined for South Sudan. And they go back through the same route of Kira. So when someone is counting, I don't know, he finds time to be on the road and says, oh, this one is empty. Now, is that one coming from Congo? Is it coming from Uganda? Is it coming from where? So you be wider in outlook. Don't narrow yourself.
So Moses, can you listen to this? This is Bank of Uganda.
No, wait. I'm talking about the trucks.
No, because I was now talking as an ordinary person.
No.
Now I want to give you the figures of Bank of Uganda.
I'll come to your time. You mentioned it. So on the trucks, yes, when they are coming in and even going out, these trucks from Mombasa, it serves the whole of East Africa. They are those for Uganda. There are those for Rwanda, there are those for Burundi, there are those for Congo, there are those for South Sudan. So you do not count all of them and say they are all empty. Yes, but for instance, our exports of coffee goes through the same route. We had a trade surplus with Europe, because Europe mainly buys our coffee, or most of our coffee goes to Europe, and it goes through the same route. We exported to Europe more than we imported from Europe. That's a fact.
I mean, what does Europe want to buy from you?
It buys coffee from us.
Yeah.
Most of the coffee buys goes to Europe. That's true, but we are buying less from Europe and we're selling more to Europe. That's good for Uganda. Now, honorable Senyonyi was saying that our trade deficit, the balance of, you were talking about the GDP debt ratio. The GDP debt ratio is 48%,
That's not true.
Our date is actually 53.5. But even then, it's always in East, one of the lowest in East Africa, other than Tanzania. wait.
So that's how you measure.
I think
that at least all of us are doing
well. 53% compared to the whole world is doing well.
No,
by any standard. What we needed to act on, in some of the East African countries, he was here praising Rwanda. Rwanda is above 70. You are praising them in something else. Look at the GDP debt ratio. Respective of how many of a population, the GDP debt ratio doesn't matter how many you are. It looks at your GDP versus the population you are serving. It's above 70. Look at Kenya, it's above 70. It is a fact. Now, the question which we should, unless we say we are doing better in East Africa, other than Rwanda, I think it's only Tanzania, which is below us, around 40 something. Now, the challenge, I think, people look at paying debt. Is paying debt good or bad? The challenge would be, what has a debt done? We are here. We're talking about the oil roads, for instance. We're talking about all these roads we have worked on, all these projects, including Mlago Hospital, which have been on loan. So, for me, spending on debt repayment for works which have already been completed or are already going on. It's good for the country. When you talk about a road and say, oh, we are paying so much in debt, we are paying, debt ratio is high, we are paying debts, but the debts, what did the debts do? In fact, Parliament should be asking the Minister of Finance to present to Parliament. It's okay, we are passing that money to pay debts. But these debts, in which debts are we paying for? What did they do? I come to Parliament, I have no problem with that. They will show you this road is this. The road to the Kira Road is being worked on to up to Kasangati and going through is your broad money. Now, do you want that road done or not done? All these roads we are talking about, the Kampala roads, is from Nakawa. The roads that from Mubs up to the other side they're working on. This money is borrowed money, it should be paid. So the challenge would be, ask the Minister of Finance, say, when you are talking about money, you are paying out debts, what did the debts do? It's good to account. You see it, and you think the roads.
I want to compare roads in Kampala.
And you think the roads? In fact, I see some in very good shape, like the oil roads. We are doing very well. The road, I stay in Buziga. The Lukuli road is one of the best roads in town. Yes, we need to do much more for Kampala roads, and I think for Kampala roads, the challenge has not been money.
The good thing the daughter has showed the road to the president.
The challenge has not been money. We had been promised that the construction of work will start in February this year. It wasn't money. Because, listen. The roads which were supposed to have started in February, money had already been borrowed. And by the time you give out a contract, to a contractor, money is already there.
By NRM standards, it is okay.
Same with you, listen. Yeah. By the time you give out, you award a contract, the money is already there. These contracts had been awarded. Works was supposed to have started in February. There was delays in the procurement system. It was lack of money. In the budget for the next financial year, I'm sure Honorable Semuji, you have just looked through it. They presented the budget framework paper last week or the other week. There is money for the Greater Kampala roads. That is the entire Kampala, Wakiso, where you are an MP, and the neighboring Mukono. These roads are going to be worked on. But it's the money you're borrowing to do, and then tomorrow when you pay a loan, and then you say, why are you paying a loan? Should we borrow and work on the roads in Kampala or not?
Okay, thank you. Hold on, Nafka. Let's start with
Phone Africa.
Yes.
Now, Honorable, the leader of opposition, said that when we empower only the foreign investors and leave out the local investors, that's not true. If you look at the investment code, in fact, the all the benefits which accrue to a foreign investor, the same benefits accrue to a local investor with a minimum requirement. For instance, to get a 10-year tax holiday for a foreign investor, you must invest at least a minimum of $10 million. For a local investor, it's $300,000 investment if your investment is within the Greater Kampala. If it is outside Greater Kampala, the requirement is $150,000. You will get the same benefits like the foreign investor.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. A minute for Honorable Semenyo Nnamfi.
This is the state of the economy report by Bank of Uganda. I'll just read for you one paragraph. Uganda's external position remained fragile. This is March 2023. Uganda's external position remained fragile in the 12th month to March 2023, weighed down by headwinds occasioned by the unabating Russia-Ukraine crisis that led to the deteriorating terms of trade and surges in outflow of portfolio capital as global interest rates sharply rose amid high external debt service obligation. The current account deficit remains high and elevated by historical standards, while financing shrank. On the back of the war-induced upsurges in the global commodity prices and tightening of global financial conditions, the current account deficit at 3,851.3 million remained high by historical standards, with all sub-accounts excluding the secondary income account registered deteriorations. Overall balance of payment deficit of $1 billion was registered in the year to March 2023, a reversal from a balance of payment surplus of $738 million recorded in the previous year. Financing of the current account was mainly from FDI and drawdown on international reserves. The estimated stock of our foreign reserves at the end of March 2023 was $3.6 billion, lower than $4.4 billion at the end of March 2022. So this is the Bank of Uganda report, Moses.
Yeah, but you see,
and this is the situation.
The challenge you have. Yes, that was the situation then.
We're talking about a situation in
December 2023.
Yes, the supplementary budget passed in this December. Government said you're going to borrow. Yes. We don't have money.
We're not saying there's no point of borrowing, but that's not
store. 41.3 billion.
Yes. So you are now borrowing to go and stage parties, wedding anniversaries.
Wait, listen. Did that report of Bank of Uganda of March stop the export of coffee and export of coffee going up and relieving Bank of Uganda?
Did it stop the export of gold from Uganda? This is the total.
I'm telling you.
This is the total.
I wish you had brought the one of November or even October, the latest.
The supplementary budget is a source of information that yes, we are borrowing domestically.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
We are unable to service the interest rate.
You explain the supplementary budget.
By the way, there is no way the supplementary budget was saying that we have failed to raise money.
It said June 2023, government owed Bank of Uganda $4.8 trillion, which had accumulated from 2019.
And it paid it out in the
last budget. It has not paid.
No, You ask the treasury. That money.
No, I don't ask. I pass the budget. You mean he picks from his pocket?
Okay, but who is the one who pays?
It does not matter. I authorize the payment.
Did you pass the budget?
No, there is no budget to pay all of. You see, Moses. you can cook figures, but the official figures don't
but
show a good
point
picture.
I'm raising, the point what I've told you,
coming from the
point I've told you, our exports have gone up. Is that a challenge? Are you telling that exports have not gone up?
It does not matter.
Moses, yes.
Yeah. But you're bringing us figures of March. Yes, they're okay then, but they're figures of November.
Okay, Moses, Bank of Uganda is lying. According to you, you are doing very well, so you can celebrate.
The figure, the point.
Whatever
Samuju,
Moses
is
saying, get the November report.
Yeah.
Joe, you conclude.
The November report, I have. But you see, reports of a country are not done like reports of State House.
Yeah.
They are done over a period of period of time.
Part of the
no, State House now
Joe.
Is no longer in Uganda. They are enjoying parties.
Oscar, Honorable Joe, 10 months ago, the PSST, Ramadan Gobi, announced this. There will be no new borrowing in the next fiscal year to minimize Uganda's debt burden. This man and other folks at the Ministry of Finance, some who are technical, you know, they have said, you know what, we need to lessen our borrowing. Number one, we are borrowing too much. And number two, we are not borrowing for the productive sectors of the economy. But the politicians override them.
Now he's showing
me something to clearly buttress what I was talking about. So the politicians override them, and that's why Parliament every so often they will bring another loan to pass for things that just do not add economic value. That's where the problem is. Moses, you see, don't just defend because you have got to defend. Sometimes sit these people down and say, no, we cannot continuously do this. It is not right. Sometimes you say, yes, let's borrow, we shall be able to pay in the future. But you see, that money that you'll be using to pay in the future could have done something else. You have borrowed the money. And by the way, Oscar, sometimes we borrow this money and we are not ready to absorb
it.
The person you have borrowed from expects you to immediately begin paying. The interest won't go down or anything of the sort. So a year or two passes, and Moses knows this. And you're not utilizing the money. It is lying on the accounts. Why do we shoot first and aim later? It's as if some people in government, they do what we call okuozaamu. So they get this money, fix it somewhere in a bank, somewhere, and it is making some money for them, you know. But Moses, tell these people, because let's first, you know, disabuse the politics out of this. This is financial bad manners, which has got to stop.
Let's stop for a break. Welcome back from the break. This is the Capital Gang. Lydia, today you are the Pan-Africanist on the program. Sudan, a couple of years ago, you'd have said Sudan was very strong. And then even after the coup, they tried to get back together, but now Sudan is really in trouble. There's only one Sudan. The other one is South Sudan. You agree that it's really, really in trouble?
It has been struggling since the times of His Excellency, former President Bashir.
Bless you.
I think this...
Sorry.
In Africa... after coups, post coup errors,
the leader of opposition has handed you a bottle of water.
Have not worked well.
That you can take for now.
Thank you. This is a good beginning. So after the bottle of water, then money for Nakal, okay, Center Mosque. Then I go to Mbale to check the money and I announce to the Imam of the mosque and the organizing committee. I just wanted to say that what we are seeing in Africa. Of course, the focus on Sudan, like you've asked me, is that the post-coups have not helped those countries. They are factions, and they don't destabilize. And we have two sets of coups, or takeover, and constitutional takeover of power. One is through the uprisings, if you remember, those ones of the Arab Corridor, North Africa. And then there are those that are internally, when the military read the discontent, like how the Semujus and Joel speak, then they get some lieutenant colonel or colonel within the system to get, pick courage and, you know, top of state house. And that is what is common in most of the West African countries. There are some five pending coups now in the areas of West Africa. Because they, when Wananchi are not happy, and then some internal factors like from the army. And I don't know why it's the rank of Lieutenant Colonel there, They go on top of government, but that does not improve the situation. Because then the factions stand out, and then there are many power centers. So what's happening in the Sudan, from the knowledge I have, is that the other camps, the other militias, have actually the same firepower. I mean, the same, if you have an opponent, I mean, if you have an opposition who has an army, or he has a militia, they have ammunition, what can you do? I mean, you cannot leverage off power. So they have the same fire, power, and they can they have cut off some areas where they can even collect taxes, you know. So those are the challenges that so therefore balancing power becomes an issue. But the bottom line is that it is the Wananchi, it's the people who are suffering, because there is no clear governance, there is internally displaced people, the mechanisms we have outside the sovereign states are weaker. If a country has gone through a coup or an uprising, it's very difficult for an external factor, apart from, you know, the shadow diplomacy, pleading with them, removing them from the African Union, saying you're no longer a member of the African Union. They don't really care, because they may not appreciate the importance of being part of the international community. Therefore, the internal mechanisms of governance are so important, negotiating power, agreeing on what to do. And I think, despite all the complaints about what's happening in Uganda, we are doing well in terms of governance, negotiating disagreements, and finding a middle ground, having a running parliament, standards notwithstanding, with the leader of opposition, which is constitutional. So I think when you compare to what you're asking me about Sudan, I think we are the kids on the block, because despite all the challenges, we are up and running, and we are going to host international conferences beginning 3rd. No country would bring their nationals, moreover, top-class nationals, to a country that is unstable. So we are profiling very good points for stable, for stability. Yeah, okay. So I thought I should be able to explain this and say that there is a lot of work going on for the African continent, but also the current president of the African Union. Is it the president? Yes.
Thank you.
His Excellency Faki is retiring. His time is ending in February. So we are going to get a new one very soon. I don't know whether they are going to post. Last time you posted a candidate, Moses, I don't know whether they are getting one for Uganda. Oscar, are you going to apply and then they campaign for you?
No. Moses, the fighting has reached Khartoum. People are in a dire situation. I know that, it has this first time the fight has gone to Khartoum. And yes, first time. And I don't know how some people have even made their way all the way to Uganda, now refugees in Uganda.
Well, in fact, I have been talking, when I met my friends from the Western world at the embassies and what, when they talk about refugee situations, okay, they praise Uganda has had a good refugee policy. We have so many refugees in Uganda and looking after them.
Whereas the UK wants to take them to Rwanda.
I always tell them. I always tell them that yes, it's good to deal with refugees, but we should deal with the cause of the problem. If you're going to be deeper. The instability in some of the African countries, how do we help deal with the situation? You find most of them have not necessarily Sudan, have had, for instance, our neighbor here in Congo, DRC, we have had ADF or Interahamwe, so many what they call negative forces within Congo, with the Congo not unable to flush them out on its own. Until like now, when we have been working together to deal with ADF. So the international community should be looking at this country is building the first thing, a national army. Democratize, like Lydia was talking about. Have a national army, then democratize. But sometimes when there is a coup, the first thing they you hear people talk about, when are you having elections? Okay, fine, elections are okay. But if you don't have a national army to defend the country, which has not, to defend the country against any type of instability, to have that capacity, then you will have more refugees around. So the case for Sudan, they need to build a national army capable, or not only build a national army, arm it well to ensure that it can defend the interests of Sudan against anyone else. Whether if the problem is the full problem is food. Now, so when you hear, even in South Sudan, when you need to build an army to be able to control, defend the country, whether against any external or internal aggression. Yes. If you don't do that, then the refugee situation in Africa will continue going up. Now, now depending on how.
But Moses, Sudan, the challenge is internal, it's not external.
Yes, but internal, because there was no internal capacity to defend the country. We had here LRA internal, but we dealt with it. We had all these groups. All these groups, the Sudanese themselves, definitely.
No, Bashir staying too long in power and then putting up structures to defend him. Which structures have
now come back to bite the whole country?
Well, I know about Sudan. The point I'm making is that whether it is Bashir or not, it's the Sudan, the country, has failed. Doesn't have an army capable enough to defend it against internal.
But you've got to diagnose the problem. How did they get there?
You can go and do that.
Thank you.
We don't have to go. Uganda has now a strong army in Uganda.
And SFC.
Capable. SFC is part of the army.
No, it is not.
Well, SFC is part of the army. Uganda has a strong army to defend itself against external and internal aggression.
Okay. Same.
Yeah, you see. The problems of Sudan are not different from problems of Uganda.
And Congo.
2002, when what was the project of professionalization of UPDF, the white paper.
Would you compare us with Sudan at the moment
now,
in time?
Listen, I am giving you the history. At the conclusion of that exercise leading to the enactment of the UPDF Act, Mr. Museveni convened the UPDF High Command, and specifically those who were working on the professionalization, and then he told them he wanted to create a special force. And they told him, sir, we are going to create a problem, see the Republican Guard is in Iraq, see. That's what al-Bashir created. When he faced pressure in Darfur, because this is where mainly this Hamdan's army. Yes, this Hamdan's army. These are the Janjaweed.
Yes,
so he created an army to deal with an internal problem. Museveni has, and I have many times in parliament asked them, because you see, the forces of UPDF can only be created by parliament. And parliament did, under the UPDF Act, create the land force and the air force. But we now have a special force created by Museveni. When Chiyonga was the Minister for Defense, he told Parliament, when I asked the question, that they will change the law to create it. So they first created it. The law hasn't been changed. So when you have a change, like the one of Uganda will be, because we are taking the same direction. When al-Bashir was around with these two forces, there was no problem. The day he leaves, that's when these forces begin fighting. So the day Museveni leaves, you have SFC under his son, which completely is illegal under the Ugandan Constitution and UPDF Act. And then another army. In the past, he used to call it Sales Army. He says this Sales Army, when he was meeting the Committee on Foreign Affairs and Presidential chaired by Musumba in Soroti, he said Sales Army had failed. My army is now fighting Konyi. So we have always had two armies. There is now an attempt to unite them. It's not easy. So where Sudan is, we will be. Because they had a leader who served for life until he was violently removed. We have a leader who thinks it is birthright to rule Uganda. He will also be violently removed, and then you will go where Sudan is, Oscar. So these problems are African problems. I mean, from Egypt to Libya to Zimbabwe to Sudan. This is just Uganda next.
We hope we don't get there.
Yeah.
Now for your own microphone.
Oscar, this is a case of same script, different cast. You know, these different countries. And unfortunately, the global players like United Nations and African Union are now, I don't even know what to call them. Because as their influence wanes, who then can intervene in these situations? And we see the same happening in Congo. You see that paramilitary fighting the M23 in Eastern Congo. What is its name? There is a group of vigilantes who are now fighting M23 as opposed to the government of Sudan. And they are fully backed and sanctioned by the government of Congo.
At the moment, elections are the important things.
The Wanaichi fighting the M23.
The rapid response unit also.
He has created, yes, a rapid response unit for itself. You see, Oscar, in most of these African countries, in the end, the person who removes the president is the head of the army. Most coups, this is a fact, are led by the army. So what do presidents do? Because they are lazy, you can't disband the whole army and start from scratch. So they create a unit, the rapid support unit, or whatever they call them. And this unit is then what goes on to become a problem. We see it happening from country to country, and yet we let it continue happening. Because most of these leaders at this point have hijacked the state. The institutions are run by one single person. And what happens afterwards? So someone can say, when Bashir was in power, Sudan was stable. Mm. But Bashir created the problem that we have today. You see, every time you have an artificial stability, it's only a matter of time. When you leave a vacuum that then creates this problem. So you get to a situation of what happens, unless someone assassinates both of these leaders, because you see the United Arab Emirates trying to intervene. But let's not forget that most of these these factions are supported by outside forces.
Mm.
So before you even start thinking of the Sudan paramilitary force
and international news is picking up on Gaza and everything else. Should Sudanese people give up? Is no one caring for them?
No. Well, the Sudanese should be able to sort out the problem.
They're not sorting it out
with the help of them. But you see, part of the challenge of Sudan has also been, even when they were relatively stable, the biggest challenge even during Bashir's time was the identification of who is Sudanese.
Yeah.
You know what has been going on in Darfur? Before the South Sudan broke off, the idea was creating an Islamic state. Some of these areas, like now, people in South Sudan are mainly Christians, and in Darfur, it's also a mixture. So that was also a bad precedent of trying to create an Islamic state. Even today, as there's fighting in Khartoum, you don't know what the situation in Darfur would be. Whoever takes over control of Khartoum, how will they take the people in Darfur as part of Sudan, or they regard them as blacks who are mainly non-Muslim? Do they still want whoever takes over? Will they want to create an Islamic state? So the suffering is unfortunate. I wish, as Namfi is saying, if there are any backers, if they could come closer and say, okay, forget about, there's a lot of death, there's a lot of suffering, how can we create harmony and unity? But a bigger picture would be a Sudan which comes out of this war must be a Sudan where everybody is considered Sudanese irrespective of their religion and ethnic background.
Okay.
On a sad note, I wish to mention here that as you saw me moving out of the studio about part twice, I received a telephone call that my father-in-law passed on this morning at IHK. As a family, we have lost a great man about 96 years. He was a leader in Buremba area in Kazo. The Mzee Christopher Barenzi has passed on this morning. As a family, more details will come out. It's unfortunate. Mm. Yeah.
Very, very sad. Right Honorable Joe Sunyonyi, designate on Sudan.
Firstly, commiserations to Moses and his family on the passing of Muzei. 96 years, you know,
is maybe good innings.
As you mourn, I'm sure you'll be celebrating his life. Because, yeah. Now, Sudan, you see, Oscar, power consumes people and they become a mess, a shadow of their former past. When Mr. Museveni and his group were capturing power, they said, we want to do different. He said, the past regimes have not handed over power peacefully. That's why there's always been revolts, because they've not done things right. For us, we want to just stabilize and then hand over power. But you see, the longer you stay, have a tighter grip, the same situation gets to happen. And that's what we are seeing in Sudan after Bashir and so on. Now there's all these that were fomenting quietly. There's something called the Rapid Support Forces, which is fighting with the army there. They've captured a state called Gezira. And even World Food Program is saying we cannot take food there because these guys have cut it off completely. So people are on the verge, in fact, some are dying, not because of, you know, bullets or whatever, but starvation and hunger, because nothing is happening. But some civilians are saying, even when you release us, we are not able to, you know, go anywhere because the army and the RSF are fighting heavily. Why? Because of power. And Nafi was saying, yeah, greed of people somewhere at the top. That's what was happening in South Sudan when Dr. Riek Machar and Salva Kiir on the other end, each of them saying, it must be me. And they went for each other's throats, but who gets to suffer? The ordinary folks at the end of the day. And even the international community, when they come in to try to attempt to remedy the situation, these guys have got interests. So they'll first begin to map out who has got our interests at heart. That's the one they will fund, whether publicly or quietly, with arms and so on. And so they foment this a lot more. Because for some of them, you know, some, might not be all, but some of them, it even works for their interests when certain regions are destabilized. They're able to do whatever it is that they want to do, which is sad. So we need to get back to the diagnosis that Mr. Museveni made. Very right diagnosis. The problem of Africa
is overstaying power.
In fact, they said
without election.
He amended that along the way. Very soon he might want to amend it, because the type of elections that we have are problematic. So really, that's the crux of the matter. And at the end of the day, I don't know, it might be the stronger one who will beat up the others and win. The same thing that Museveni did. He went for elections, he lost. He said, okay, let me go to the bush and beat you up. And he won. But you see, we thought he would reboot and say, okay, now let's do it the right way. He does not want. So when I see Sudan burning like it is, I worry for Uganda. I pray and hope we don't get to that place.
Okay, thank you so much to the listeners of the Capital Gang. Congratulations to our soon-to-be Right Honorable Leader of Opposition, Honorable Joel Sunyonyi.
Thank you, sir.
Star Cafe, thank you so much for
the facility.
Powering the gang, Star Cafe. When Moses is here, we also have Mega Yogurt. Thank you very much, Moses. I'd like to wish our listeners a happy new year. May you end the year well, carefully. And we'll be back in 2024. I am Oscar Semoyam Soke, and I shall see you next week. Or I shall see you next year.